look at a very familiar story this evening. Old Testament story of Job. Not going to look at it in length, but just a simple idea tonight on how Job handled trouble. I'll try to talk loud enough so you can hear me. I shouldn't probably use the microphone. I'm getting older. My voice is getting weaker, you know, so you can't hear me. You know, sometimes they hold your hand up and wave, but that may not always be a good idea because my eyesight's going too. I may not be able to, may not see your hand. We always think about Job. We think about the patience of Job and all the troubles or trials that he had. I don't know if you have any problems right now. Big ones, little ones, real ones. Of course, if I say big ones, you might respond, well, there's no such thing as a little problem, especially if it's happening to me. When you think about being stressed out, did you know that the word stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts? So if you're stressed, have some ice cream. That'll work. But I want to talk about Job this evening and how he faced his problems, how Job dealt with them, how he overcame them. I know it doesn't help much to just tell you about other people's problems. We know they have them. Sometimes when we hear about other people's problems, we may think, well, I'm not so bad after all, but I still have problems. A lot of people we know are having difficulties that are worse than ours. So just sometimes it helps to see how somebody else handles their problem. We may even help us because if we look at how they handled it, we can say, well, if they can do it, we can too. Then we may want to ask them, what did you do? Because I want to do the same thing. So this is the way we're introduced to Job in the Bible. In Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, there's a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God, eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. Wow. When you keep reading, you'll see that his position abruptly changed. And it's hard to believe that so much trouble could come to one man. But in Job chapter 1, beginning at verse 13 through the rest of the chapter, and all of chapter 2, it lists the troubles that came to him and his life. It took a chapter and a half in the Bible to list all of Job's troubles. He lost all of his possessions. All 10 of his children were killed in a tornado. He lost his health. He suffered horrible pain. His friends deserted him. Even his wife turned against him. So Job's problems or options are kind of limited. Job, you either need to have to handle your problem or you're going to have to give up. I remember years ago when I was teaching school, there was an aide on our campus. His name was Frank. He was a special education aide. You know, an aide in the classroom with students with severe disabilities. But he had to take a stress leave. And one requirement when he took that leave was he had to attend a support group. Well, at the end of his leave of absence, I asked Frank, I said, what do you think about the group? What did it do for you? He said, well, Brian, that support group there is not there to solve your problems, only to support you. He said, you have 3 choices. You either live with your trouble on campus, you transfer, or you quit. And those were the 3 choices. and they would support Frank in whatever choice he made. We're there to support you, Frank. We're a support group. That was the title on the sign outside the room. Well, Frank didn't come back. Well, he came back to school, but then he decided to transfer to a middle school. We were in elementary school. Just so happened that three of the students that he had in the elementary school went to that middle school that he transferred to. So I'm not sure he escaped all the problems that he had. But just sometimes our options are limited. So what did Job do with his trouble? How did he do it? How did he handle it so well? Starts first of all with basic faith. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But I feel a lot better now. if that's what you're going to tell me, I came, entered naked, I'm going to go out naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave, and so I just need to keep repeating that, I guess. That sounds very comfortable. It's kind of like I want to say, oh, well. But I'm too practical to believe that I can win the struggle that I'm in with just a, oh, well, or a nice platitude. But when you look at Job's trouble, we see his human side. And that's what our lesson is this evening. Job went through several stages just like you and I do. Number one was numb to shock. Now you think about if you had just heard some horrible news or something you think of terrible has happened to you. In Job chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, it says Job is smoked with boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Boils. In Job chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, "Then said his wife to him, 'Do you still retain your integrity, Job? Curse God and die. You have too many troubles, Job.' He said to her, 'You speakest as one of the foolish women speak. Says, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips?' Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, every one, from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with Job and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not." Job is suffering so much, and so much has happened to Job, that they didn't even recognize him when they came. "They lifted up their voice and wept. They rent every one his mantle, sprinkled dust on their heads toward the heaven. They sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great." Chapter 3, verse 1. "After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day." You ever feel like that? Yeah. Been there. Numb shock. You know, these three friends, they come to Job. They do what they need to do to lend comfort. They sat for 7 days and nights without even speaking a word. And sometimes that's our first reaction to tragedy or to loss. Just unbelief that it's happening. And it's to me. I don't want to talk about it. We just got to shake our heads. Sometimes, you know, Jared says, "Oh, when you know our oldest son, you say, 'You know, Dad's something horrible happened,' or he thinks something horrible happened, because he just paces back and forth and rubs his cheek like that. Rub my forehead. Just my face. Don't you do something like that? Something goes on, you just heard some news. What are we going to do? So we, like Job, we just kind of have that initial numb reaction. Oh, no. What happened? Second is despair. Job did that. He lamented the day he was born. Wow. He thought about the night that he was conceived, and he said, I just want to die. I hope we don't reach that. But in chapter 3, verse 3, he said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man-child conceived. In verse 11, Job said, why didn't I die from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out the belly? In other words, if this is what is my lot in life, I wish I'd never been born. To Job, life has lost meaning, reason for living. He could see nothing in the future but doom and gloom, loneliness, sorrow. He lost all hope for something better happening. So when we suffer, especially if it's severe sorrow or an abrupt change in our life, you know, something unexpected happened, we may even say, oh, I didn't see that coming. Wow. We identify with Job's attitude here. At least some of us do. Life crumbles. We feel the weight of the trouble. We say, why me? Everything is sour. All of my luck is bad luck. Just to see bottom, I have to look up. That's how bad it is. I'm lower than low. I don't see any blessings to count. That's somebody that just is really affected by what's happened to them. It's a time of depression that doesn't leave quickly. But when it does leave, we come to point number 3. All of a sudden, we're longing for the good old days. And the Job did that later in the book. Job 29, verse 2. Says, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Yeah. He's looking backward. He says, boy, I remember when this wasn't happening to me. I remember the good old days. I remember those days when everything was going my way, when I was, the Bible says, you know, the greatest man in all the East. Oh, I remember when things were so good. I put in your notes, remembering the past is okay. May produce some positive results now. We enjoy fond memories. I do. When I see old friends, the first thing we do is talk about the past. We have fond memories. We tell the old stories. But we can't go back. Can't undo the accident that broke our leg. Can't unspill the spilled milk. Can't focus on missed opportunities. They're gone. We can't say, oh, if only. Or I wish that, you know, way back then, why didn't I do this? Or why didn't I say that? Why didn't I? So now we have to be convinced that each day brings its own opportunities. But for a moment, when we have troubles and trials, we're thinking, oh, I remember when. I sure do. Number 4, in your notes, the next stage of life of this situation might be anger and resentment. Job started trying to pin the blame on someone. That's a typical reaction. Look what you made me do. I'm sure glad we have grandkids now, because if anything goes wrong at the house, Christine say, who broke that? I said, the grandkids. Grandkids must have done it. Look at that over there. Yeah, the grandkids. They're not here. They didn't. But in chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, then Job answered and said, I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters you are. So Job, these three people that came to Job to give him comfort, he says, you're not doing your job. Chapter 32, verse 1, finally, these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Job couldn't believe that these three friends and the conclusion that they made was correct. So your miserable comforters, they conclude, and I put that in your notes, they, two things. If you're prosperous, that's God's reward for righteous living. And if you have trouble and sorrow, that's God's punishment for being a sinner. Therefore, they said, Job, you must have done something horribly wrong because look at all the affliction that's in your life. So Job says, you're miserable comforters. I'm not getting from you what I thought I would receive. So then Job wants to blame God. He's thinking God has been unfair in allowing troubles to come to him. He probably wanted to say, hey, God, this is me. Nothing bad is supposed to happen to me because I'm on your side. Why me? So in chapter 30 and verse 20, Job, blaming God, said, I cry unto you, O God. You don't hear me. I stand up and you regard me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand you oppose yourself against me. Sometimes people do that. Because of the horrible situation they're in, they want to blame God. There are times when we need to stop the blame and just get on with the solution. Don't let anger and resentment last. But you may want to spend a moment blaming yourself, friends, God. You just want to direct that anger someplace else besides yourself. The last one I had was Job had an honest encounter with God. In Job 38, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? God said to him, the voice said, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I'll demand of thee and answer thou me. So two things emerged from this kind of conversation or this contest between God and Job. In chapter 38, God starts asking questions. There's about 40 of them, about 40 questions that Job did not know. So Job, you think you're so smart? You think you have all the answers? Answer this. Well, as a result, Job seemed to conclude that the things he was bitter about losing really didn't belong to him in the first place. They were undeserved gifts that God provided. You know, when I think about gifts in my life, even just the gift of life itself, birth, why was I born to my mom and dad and not someplace else? Why come I wasn't born in Timbuktu? Now don't answer that. You're probably wondering, yeah, why not? That's a great question. No. Of course, I would have preferred Hawaii. But Job came to a better understanding of the past, but he also came to a better understanding of the future. That it can be brighter, no matter what the situation you're in now. Kind of that proverbial expression of the light at the end of the tunnel. We don't know if it's an exit light or a train coming toward us. But God, who has given us the lesson is, and it's in the story of Job, God, who has given us abundantly in the past, can do the same in the future. Troubles and tragedies, we always say, even in life, will make you or break you. They'll make you bitter or they'll make you better. As badly as it hurts, it can cause you to be sympathetic toward others because you know what you're going through. If someone else has troubles, you may say, I haven't experienced what you have, but I've experienced troubles. And you're going through troubles. If we realize that heaven is not on earth, when we have difficulties or troubles, it strengthens us to overcome another trial. Because we've done that before, even with lesser troubles. We got through those. Well, if something stronger or harder comes along, well, I can do that because I've gotten through some other troubles in my life. And we'll get through this one too. We want to make the best of our troubles so that in turn it makes the best of us. So we look at Job, how did you handle your troubles? Because it may help me in handling mine. The one who provided the good old days can be trusted to provide the good new days. And if yesterday was filled with meaning and purpose, why can't tomorrow be? Dealing with a disaster is not easy, I know that. But you can do it. I just wish I knew God's time frame. Why'd He put me in my situation I'm in right now? Why'd He do it when I was younger, when I think right now I could have handled it better? I don't know. But no matter how long I live, I'm not going to have troubles eliminated. So we just have to make the good come from the situations we're in. And rely on God. We've said in other lessons. So that's the lesson for this evening. Just look what Job did. You may go through some of these things or more. I just looked at five things that happened to Job. He was in shock, yeah. I get that one. Whoa. Look what happened. Wow. And then despair. Oh, no. And I pace. Then I long for the good old days. Whoa. Look, remember when this was not happening? And then I may get angry and bitter. Pin the blame on somebody else. But then with an honest encounter with God, you realize you have an understanding of the past and an understanding of the future. Just like Job. So that's the lesson this evening. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here not a member of the New Testament Church, I don't see anybody that's not. If that's your desire, we can certainly honor that request. But if one has present for strength or encouragement, while we're assembled here, we can